I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
The one time I've actually played the music in studio, I've started sneezing. I'm allergic to professionalism, Mark. Never mind.
We can tell because this episode's come out on a Friday.
It's not going to come out on a Friday. It can come out a little later on if you want. It's completely up to you.
Hello, yes. Apologies. I actually did a little interview about Wrestle Me for Pod Bible.
Oh, yes.
It went out on their podcast and I listened back to it and I thought, it's really nice when you hear yourself do an interview and you listen back to it, having forgotten what you said, and you go, oh, I didn't sound like a dickhead. Yeah. I didn't sort of start going, we're the absolute best, and if anyone doesn't think we are, I'll kill them. You know, there was none of that. But there was one thing
was like
I said in
Ultimate Warrior
there.
Promo.
There was one thing where they were going, what's the key to a successful podcast? And I had one thing I said, and that was the word regularity. And I said, you know, too many podcasts, they aren't regular. You need to be regular. We've always been regular. Yeah. It went out 2 days before we ruined everything.
Mark, I'm really sorry. And it is all my fault. I came off the back of a Football Ramble tour and I thought we had enough in the bank. I thought we had enough money in the bank to use wrestling parlance. But we didn't. I just didn't have enough time and I fucked it all up, guys. And I'm so sorry. We're a day late. Not a buck short.
Do you know what we should do?
What?
We should just do one of those things that's really annoying where even because we're a day late, we'll just talk and apologise for the whole episode and then it ends. Yeah. And then you just sort of go, Jesus Christ, this is eating itself.
Couple of things that have happened since we last recorded.
Yeah, very much. My top line on this is not the return of CM Punk.
Yes, okay.
It's not the recent AEW main event between Kenny Omega and John Moxley, which has split the wrestling world as to whether it was a worked match.
Yeah.
It was that Coco Beware has finally talked about losing his bird Frankie in a house fire. He's quoted an interview saying, a neighbour was in the backyard crying, I'm sorry, I couldn't save your child. He heard a voice inside the burning house saying, let me out. He thought it was my kid. It wasn't. It was Frankie in his cage. His parrot was screaming, let me out.
I mean, that it suggests that he's had to say that before. Like, he's been in the cage saying, obviously, let me out. Like, you've taught him that.
I mean, I don't know if parrots know what they're saying.
No, yeah, they don't. Yeah, they don't, do they?
So, if this one did, it's a damn shame it died, because it was doing something pretty special.
A brilliant bird. I know why the caged bird sings, because Coco Beware taught it to sing in that exact way.
Because Coco Beware has gone to church and there's been a house fire. That's saved you reading the book. It'd be amazing if that's on the last page. The other thing that I was really keen on this week is the news that wrestling has a fan who I think would come as a bit of a surprise, and that is the German author Werner Herzog.
Yes.
So
yes.
GQ did a great little article where they'd sort of heard him do a podcast and he talked about WrestleMania and about Jesse Ventura, who really loves.
Yeah.
You know, he's sort of saying I really admire him. He had this thing about
he
I don't care
like me.
if I win or if I lose, as long as I cheat. And that's a sort of very Werner Herzog-y idea. But GQ went through and found that Werner Herzog has been mentioning watching WrestleMania in countless interviews dating back to 2000. And he looks at it with a very Werner Herzog-y way. It must have been in the earlier Greek times, before Sophocles and before Euripides, when something like this emerged from the public eye. I do believe what is fascinating about WrestleMania is the story surround it. The dramas between the owner of the whole show and his son, who are feuding, and his wife in the wheelchair, who is blind. And he is then showing up in the ring with four girls who have huge fake boobs, and he is fondling them. This is almost sort of an ancient Greek drama, evil uninterrupted by commercials. So what does it say? It says this sort of thing is more important than the fight itself. It is a new drama emerging, and it has been understood by these people who invented WrestleMania. So
now, I would have believed that he'd actually said that.
Yes, he did. That, what, is,
that
a
is an
direct
actual quote.
Quote
what he,
from
he mentioned
Herzog.
That.
That is it.
I thought it was just like a one-liner. He didn't mention. He actually mentioned
GQ
that scene.
Found back to 2000.
Fucking
him talking
hell.
About WrestleMania. Time Out in London, the London magazine, the listing magazine in 2005. He said, "You see reality TV. You can play video games in the virtual world. You've got Photoshop and WrestleMania. Our sense of reality is experiencing an onslaught of enormous magnitude." So he's just continually talking about WrestleMania. And whenever he talks about it, he actually, the best quote on this is he was asked, "What is your ideal night out?" And he said, "I never really spend nights out. They're a bit of a rarity these days. I like attending good soccer matches and then heading to the pub for a good beer. I used to be the striker for a very poor fifth division league team. I also really enjoy WrestleMania. Maybe that would be my ideal night out." So he's continually talking about it. And what's really funny is I know what this feels like.
Yes.
Where you can't... This is sort of slightly what WrestleMania is about.
Yeah.
It's me justifying my love. And the whole idea that I would have been able to say, even to you, you know, when I first met you,
yeah.
if someone had said, "Oh, you really like wrestling," I'd have gone, "No, I'm really interested in it from the dramatic point of..." It's like an emerging new drama by the... You know, and he's doing exactly that. If you've been watching it for 20 years and you keep bringing it up in interviews, Werner Herzog, you're a fan, mate.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
enjoy
just,
it.
Just enjoy it. I experience a very diluted version of that when I tell girls that I am in. You know, I do wrestle podcast about wrestling.
Why do you tell them, Pete?
Say again.
Never tell them.
They
never
just,
mention
they just
it.
Scream.
What's going to happen?
Scream.
Are they going to take off their tops?
No.
Oh.
They're really not. They are really, really not. CM Punk. What is this deal with it? Why was he back on wrestling television? On a WWE product, but like just a really shit one.
It's a confusing little thing, but basically it's a talk show on a channel called FS1.
Right.
And it's called, I think it's Unwrapped. It's so new and I haven't really paid attention to the modern stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
I have watched this bit. And what's happened is basically I think the channel said we would like to bring him in as a commentator because obviously he's a big name in wrestling.
Yes.
And the WWE, they have had to essentially go, well, okay, sure. Now, the return of CM Punk is a huge deal. He left the WWE. They had a terrible breakup where there were legal cases after things he said about on podcasts. So I ain't going to repeat them. and he was fired on his wedding day. And they have had a very acrimonious split. Punk then went to UFC. The split had really been about the Punk felt he should have been a main eventer and he was being held down by people like Triple H and he just wasn't going to get that opportunity that he deserved.
Yeah.
By going to UFC, he was essentially forging a path like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar goes to UFC, becomes a huge, much, much bigger star, comes back and is absolutely the main man even 10 years after.
Mm.
Punk's UFC did not work out.
Yeah.
It did not work out at all well.
No.
Two losses, both brutally humiliating. And so Punk has always been very much like, I will never go back to WWE. People have always chanted for him. The thing about wrestlers is wrestlers always come back.
Yeah.
There is no wrestler who has ever fallen out with the WWE who hasn't eventually come back into the fold. Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura,
Warrior,
perfect example. Yeah, Goldberg. All of these people who absolutely swore blind they would never come back, they come back because that's what you do in wrestling. You end up coming back.
Yeah.
Punk has always been, he is the hottest free agent in wrestling and has been for 5 years because people want to see him back. They still chant his name at live events. He's come back employed by the TV channel rather than by the WWE. But
presumably it's a WWE product. It's got the stamp of WWE.
Yeah.
Why would you want to risk undercutting your bottom line for when you obviously eventually come back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the question. I think Punk can say to himself, I'm actually working for a TV channel and I happen to be talking about WWE.
But that is surely going to impact on the final pop. That's surely going to impact.
I absolutely agree. I think that is very, very true. From the WWE's point of view, what they want to do, of course, is they want to open up those channels. They want to be able to get to him and say, look, come on, why don't you do something? Mm. It's all changed. Everything's different. We'll do this time. This, you know, they're also in the middle of the wrestling war with AEW.
Yeah.
They need to get this free agent. He could be a real, real needle mover for AEW.
Well, imagine if he just came back there. Wow, that'd be incredible.
He seems to have really stumbled in his talks with them. He just doesn't seem like he wants to come back to wrestling.
Right.
I think there's a possibility that this will seem like everyone's going, oh gosh, yeah, he's going to come back and he'll be in WrestleMania this year.
Yeah.
I think there's a possibility that he might be so prickly and sticking to his guns and so hurt by what's gone on that this might be as far as it goes, and it will always seem like one of those things where you just go, if you hadn't been so obstinate, you could have been headlining WrestleMania. At the same time, you could say, is it obstinate or is it principled? You know?
Yeah.
People are still chanting sellout at him now. They've been chanting for him for 5 years to come back. He comes back and everyone's like, you sellout bitch.
Apparently he's quite good. I've seen that trailer of that horror film he's in. Apparently he's quite good at
it. He's supposed to be quite a good lead.
Yeah.
If you're a wrestler, you know, you do quite a bit of acting.
Yeah.
You know, you should be quite good at this sort of thing. He's also a super bright, intelligent guy. Mm. You know, I think he's going to be good in this. The thing that I did think was slightly annoying was he came out and he just did one line. Well, he looked into the camera much too close. He'd then gone into shadow, so it sort of robbed it of its power. Mm. But he said, just when you think you know all the answers, and there's a famous Roddy Piper, that's his Roddy Piper line, where Roddy Piper then says, I change all the questions.
Yeah.
And Punk said, I change the culture.
Right.
And I thought, I'm not sure you coming back to be on a talk show on a channel I've not heard of is going to change the culture of America. But, I mean, it's just a bit too self-aggrandizing. You've thought about it too long and you've slightly lost the sense of what you're saying.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. It's when you make a momentous decision at work, you're like, this is going to fucking fuck everyone. No, it won't.
Yeah.
No, it won't.
I'm sorry, what were you trying to say? I was trying to say I quit. Oh, right. Okay. It really got confusing. When I gave up stand-up, which was in about 2001, I thought about it. I mean, you're the only person thinking about this as well. No
exactly.
one else gives
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
gives
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
Flying fuck. Mm. Literally watching someone retire on stage who you hadn't seen until 15 minutes beforehand. And you sort of going, he's all right. Oh, he's retiring. but I was reading a lot about the Sex Pistols at the time.
Yeah.
When they finished there, that's the level I saw myself.
Right,
at,
yeah, yeah,
very
exactly,
much
yeah, yeah.
This iconoclast.
You, yeah.
I mean, you know, I was playing Imperial College London, you know, at Giggle Tonic or something. But they when the Johnny Rotten did his final gig, he said, ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I want to give up stand-up. Maybe I should do a funny version of that. So at the end, I finished and I went, this is actually going to be my last gig. I'm not going to do this again. I managed to get a TV job. I didn't add that in. And,
bigger and better things, baby.
You're
going to be seeing me on something called Live TV.
It was Carlton Digital,
Carlton
actually.
Digital, okay.
Yeah, it got shut down a year later. I didn't know that at this point. And I thought, well, the Sex Pistols was really good. I'm going to do a thing that people will go, oh, he's put his unique spin on that, but the spirit is still the same. Mm. And I went, so I've been Mark Haynes, I'm not going to be doing this ever again. And people waiting for a joke. And I went, ever get the feeling you've been treated? Good night. And it was silent. Of course it was.
You'd have to know the reference.
Yeah, you'd have to know the reference.
You'd have to know that you were serious.
You'd have to know, that I was serious. Yeah. You'd have to sort of know that I was sort of doing something sort of silly and not... sort of just asking a question. And I hadn't thought about that for years. It does make me feel a bit embarrassed. But when I saw CM Punk come out and go, just when you think you know all the answers, I change the culture. I thought, oh, ever get the feeling you've been treated? Overthought it.
Lovely. Hey.
Woo, should we wrestle me?
All right then.
we're going to be taking a look at ECW One Night Stand.
Yes.
This was from 2006. And it was a big event held on the 11th of June 2006 at the Hammerstein Ballroom. This is One Night Stand 2. The second One Night Stand, which stops it being a One Night Stand. It's,
no.
It should have been called Relationship.
A repeated experience.
Yeah, budding relationship. or two fuck.
Yeah. Old Tufuk.
Oh, the old Tufuk. this was a different field. So last year was a nostalgia show.
Yeah.
WWE had purchased the ECW tape library in about 2003, and they were beginning to see a lot of merchandise go out the door. There'd been a really, really well-reviewed history of ECW DVD that they brought out. So when they brought the first one-night stand onto pay-per-view, that was a nostalgia show, and it was supposed to be a celebration of this thing which people were still very keen on.
Yes.
The thing is, that was a huge critical and financial smash, that. Mm. And they began going, well, actually, we could
really have to do this again.
Yeah, and not just this again. Why don't we bring back ECW?
Yeah, okay.
So they had signed a deal just after WrestleMania 22 to have ECW as a weekly show on a very small cable channel called Sci-Fi. And Sci-Fi were a sci-fi channel.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of push from the fans of sci-fi saying, we don't want wrestling. Mm. And there was a fair amount of push from sci-fi to say, maybe you could put some sort of sci-fi elements in. Maybe you could have like an alien come.
Oh, no.
And so it was already problematic before it started.
Yeah.
But what this pay-per-view was a combination of the nostalgia and also the launch pad for the new weekly TV series that was going to go.
Right.
So this rather than the last one, which seemed like the end of an era, this is the start of a bold new era. Mm. And that bold new era was, it was the start of the era of people not wanting to watch ECW again. it was pretty much a disaster.
Right.
Like a lot of invasion angles that they've done over the years, they very quickly go, the problem is these ECW people aren't as good as WWE people. So let's get some WWE people in there.
Yeah.
In this one, they take out Big Show and Kurt Angle. Two people who, Kurt Angle was literally in ECW for one night and said, don't ever put me on the video, I hate this. Big Show had no connection at all. And so you're already diluting down.
Yeah, it's just second guessing themselves, isn't it? And worrying that they're not going to, you know, they're going to produce a product that nobody's going to like. But it's like, well, just give, look, there's a demand for it. Give the people what they want. Don't stick your fucking oar in.
Exactly.
Because they love the product for what it was. They didn't love you. You didn't love you for it.
No.
And you weren't involved. So
no.
Just fucking.
But that's the thing of going, do you know what people really want?
Yeah.
People want bland WWE. And these people can't wrestle and they're not professional.
Yeah.
So let's put in a couple of really boring milquetoast men. And that will then, you know, make it huge.
Yeah.
There is something about WWE that I do wonder sometimes whether they just go, let's not have anything that's too big. We don't want anything that's wildly successful.
Yeah. Because we don't want to run away success because that will only dilute the other stuff we got.
Exactly. Yeah, that'll make our stars look bad. If everyone else is really good, then they're going to have to work harder. Oh, nightmare. I think also they probably just go, oh, we'd have to take on more people in the web shop. You know, we'd have to get a bigger warehouse for the merch.
A few more AOL keywords.
Yeah. Look, we're a $1 billion company. Who wants to be a $3 billion company? There's no difference. Just everybody calm it down. I almost bought some WWE stock the other day.
Oh, did you? Right, wow. Hang on, whoa. In the lifetime of this show, you've bought Bitcoin.
I have.
You've seen that tank.
Hey.
Do not ruin WWE for everyone.
Let me make it clear. The Bitcoin was a disaster until Brexit happened and the pound crashed. Now I'm one of the wealthiest men in Hertfordshire.
I'm a doomsday prepper.
Very true. This show is a show of two halves. Mm. So it's sort of funny that we've only watched the sort of first bit.
Yeah.
Because we are absolutely against the line here. The second part is astonishing. And it's one of those shows that is made by the crowd.
Mm.
So you can already see the WWE-ification of ECW happening here. Most of the matches have people who are already signed with WWE.
Yeah.
In one case, you get Kurt Angle versus Randy Orton, which is just two WWE people fighting in an ECW arena, if you like.
One of them does have an ECW gum shield.
He does. And both of them at this point, very ECW, are struggling massively with drug issues. So that is actually, in fairness, a nod to the original ECW, which was supposed to be one of the most chaotic dressing rooms of all time.
Nice. I think you mispronounced cocaine there, mate.
Do you know what? They weren't. It wasn't. I don't think cocaine was big.
Right.
It was alcohol.
Yeah.
TNA was alcohol. I think ECW was pills. It was all about somas and...
They have such more ludes. Exotic kind of pills out there, don't they?
We can't get them over no. here. Over there, you can get them in a pharmacist. Yeah. You're not supposed to buy 300 of them. But, you know, some of these guys did. It's also why, you know, I mean, all joking aside, it's also why half of the ECW locker room were dead before they were 50.
Right.
They were hard living, hard partying, very irresponsible men.
Mm.
And that obviously, I'm being horribly flippant about it, but both Randy Orton and Kurt Angle at this point were at terrible lows.
Right.
But we'll talk to that when we get to them. But you wouldn't notice it really from their
no,
match.
I thought the match was, yeah.
No, but they're actually, I mean, both of them, again, within 2 months, Angle is gone from WWE.
Right.
He needs a break.
Yeah, and, I think we spoke about this in the last show.
That's right.
Because they didn't want an Olympic hero dying on their terms.
That's right. And within 2 months of this, I think Randy Orton has an accidental overdose of sleeping pills at home.
Really?
And it's only due to the fast reaction of his girlfriend that his life was saved.
Human
so,
cricket.
Yeah, we are not in a good place here. And it's funny because I think around 2006, we begin to think of this as quite a clean industry.
Mm.
You know, it predates Benoit's death, but we are very much in the tail end of, you know, Eddie Guerrero's passing. And you imagine that everyone was cleaning up about then, and it doesn't seem like they were. Mm. In fact, Brock Lesnar did an interview last week where he was talking about, he was joking, I think, and exaggerating the effects of it, but he was saying he can barely remember his first WWE run because of vodka and pain pills. Everyone was slightly blotto on things that were not necessarily illegal.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The big main event in this is RVD versus John Cena.
Hmm.
And this was part of the Money in the Bank that he won at WrestleMania 22. He challenged for the title here. And this is a really exciting thing for the crowd because it's one of theirs, Rob Van Dam, is going against the absolute symbol of what the WWE is. And it's a fantastically interesting thing here. They play a very good sleight of hand. Everybody knows that this is WWE.
Yeah.
But they have enough about it. So Paul Heyman comes out and he's got just like earphones on.
Right.
Like he's running the show.
Yeah.
And he is running the show, but you don't need the earphones on when you come out. No, no one's going to be saying to you, you know, Paul, you need to wrap it up. You know what you're doing.
They're not plugged in.
But there's little bits and they do make it feel like, and it does feel like an ECW show.
Well, it's quite an intimate kind of venue, isn't it? Like a house show in New York.
And there's a mad suspension of disbelief that people are going, our ECW is taking on the WWE. It's a really hard thing to actually get that right. What they do really well is they clearly weren't confiscating any signs. So,
if Cena wins, we riot. Being a notable one.
Now, that is the first sighting of the sign that says, if X wins, we riot.
Right.
And that, to me, if you were building a pro wrestling museum of the 2000s, that should be front and centre, that iconic sign. Yeah. I imagine the bloke chucked it in a bin afterwards. I would have paid up to £200 for it. The signs are astonishing. So it does open. It's just on the network. And it just sort of says, the first one you see, it just says, fuck Cena.
Lovely.
And you'll see this when we get to the main event.
But this is New York, baby.
The actual thing about if Cena wins, we riot. You'd see it now because you're sort of familiar with it. At the time, it just sounded like a threat. And I think it was probably a threat that would have been delivered on. Yeah. I think I could see almost if Cena hadn't won, the place would have gone banana. And it's just astonishing. The other signs I noticed actually on the first couple of minutes, someone had one that just said, I fucked your mum.
How is this allowed?
I like the fact he bothered doing that. He's like, everyone at home will see this. No, we're really, really pissed off. There was another one that just said in the same vein, I hate you. And there was one guy who has ECF and W on a foam finger.
Okay.
And it's sort of like, I'm an outlaw with my big foam finger that says, fuck the man. It cost me $15. And out comes Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman... this period, he's got this ponytail and he wears this sort of Matrix-esque coat. Huge fucking thing. And he always looks like he's soaking wet. He looks like he's sort of fallen in a puddle and been pulled out. He's greasy and weird.
He's a man who's come out from the backstage area of a strip club.
Yes, isn't
he? To remonstrate with a bouncer trying to kick him out.
The sort of guy, exactly, who carries has like a silver necklace with a little ampule on that is full of coke. This coke is from the 80s. The only person, this is like 2006 and he's got that ponytail.
Yeah.
And that ponytail.
He looks like a baddie in Home Alone or something. Like
he really
or that
does.
Kind of film.
It just makes him look like such a greaseball. And at this point, of course, he is a huge part of the creative team in WWE. He is running the ECW thing. And again, it tells you how disastrously this goes.
Well, I mean, classic WWE style, he's given himself a terrible gimmick. A Matrix caught in a fucking
to
ponytail.
To tell you how badly the whole ECW thing goes, that by, so this is taking place in June. By December, Heyman has been fired and he will not be back for another 6 years. They will have the single worst reviewed, lowest purchased pay-per-view in history, ECW's December to Dismember.
Right.
Which I think might be quite fun to do over Christmas.
Yeah, December to Dismember. It sounds like an emo band from the noughties.
Yeah, really
Forever
good...
until October.
There's
Kids
a lot
near
of emo.
Water.
There's a lot of emo because they use Drowning Pool's bodies as the theme in this. That comes up. And it's just all... I don't know, there is something about it that the crowd are both silly and sort of unappealing. It does look like a bear pit. Yeah. Out comes Paul Heyman addressing the crowd and he makes reference to sort of Jonestown, you know, we drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
He was known as being a very, very charismatic locker room leader and he would really fire people up in the early days, you know, saying, you go out there, you're going to give the best, you know, you've got Terry Funk here, he's given everything to the business. And it was a sort of religious fervour to what they did. And another sort of cult level, he didn't always pay his wrestlers. So the next time he'd have to be just saying, you know, you're going to be so amazing, you know, and this, because he wasn't really sorting out the checks.
Yeah.
So
and now we're off to Guyana. Bye.
Yes. The Paul Heyman thing is a very good promo. He has a lovely thing of just sort of saying, you know, this didn't happen because of me. This didn't happen because of Vince. This happened because of you. And it was because the people were buying the merchandise, were buying the DVDs of ECW and were chanting ECW at events. I mean, it did happen because of Vince. Vince thought there was money to be made.
Yeah,
he is not going to be doing it otherwise. Heyman is actually a fascinating story. So before he's in wrestling, he is a teenage wrestling photographer.
Right, yes.
He begins sort of essentially ringing up Vince McMahon Sr. And just sort of saying, oh, I was asked to drop by your office. I've got some photographs of Andre, that sort of thing. And he'd turn up and he'd get a pass and accreditation. And then they'd notice he was like 14. So he was always a hustler. Yeah. He was also a publicist for Studio 54 when it was still running. And he was probably, you know, 20 or 20 odd. I think it was that was in the early 80s because there was a famous story about him getting some sort of credit with the club for telling Boy George there were photographers out the front when he was in a state. He's had a really interesting life of sort of, I don't know, not really conventional work.
No, yeah. It's hard. I always think of those kind of people. They must already be loaded because I don't know how you turn those kind of jobs into, give me some fucking money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Entirely.
Like, more than fucking just traffic, you know, transport.
Yeah.
Transport and expenses.
He's actually got a company, one of the things he does do is, in his current role with Brock Lesnar, he is actually working as Brock Lesnar's manager.
Right.
You know, he is now running Raw. He is a very, very talented wrestling mind. He also outside has loads of different sort of companies that he does, which again, sort of, is it not enough to run like Monday Night Raw? He's got a company called Looking for Larry Agency. It's sort of hard to work out what they do, but they've done it for some, they do sort of stuff like brand development for the WWE computer games.
I don't
think they've done the recent one, which they must be relieved about.
I think that's unbrandable.
Yes. It says here, Looking for Larry are brand advocates uniquely qualified to reach any targeted desired demographic with precise custom strategies, tap into any cultural movement and demonstrate, produce and deliver quantifiable, impactful results. And there's a part of me that sort of goes, that is Heyman through and through, isn't it?
Yes.
There's, I'm sure he didn't write that, but it is that sort of thing about sort of going, okay, yeah, sure, that sounds, and him going, can I have $200? And you go, yeah, I don't quite know. If you follow him on his Twitter as well, he's continually doing this funny thing where there's models who are like 5 years out of the prime of their careers.
Right.
And there are things, and they'll sort of be going, I'm one of Heyman's babes or whatever. And I'm not sure what that is. But again, it's one of those things that I sort of go, oh, it's another weird side hustle. He's too old to be doing the hustles.
Well, his actual Twitter profile name is Heyman Hustle.
Is it?
Which is very nice.
He is a hustler.
Very enjoyable.
He is. We get the first match, which is Taz versus Jerry Lawler. It's a match.
It's 30 seconds of nonsense.
It is. Taz had actually been retired from about 2003. And
after his winning, I'm going to fuck you, Muslims, fuck you, Osama bin Laden bollocks.
Yes.
That got him the best job he's ever had.
It did, which he had for years and years and years. He was a SmackDown announcer, and you had Jerry Lawler, who was over on Raw. Mm. And they had a good chemistry, the two of them. They'd actually feuded for quite a few years in sporadic moments. It dated back to 1997.
Yep.
The WWE had a working arrangement with Paul Heyman. So he would sort of, they'd have open channels essentially to sort of look at new talent.
Right.
And they paid him money throughout most of ECW's existence, really to stop WCW having, you know, their hooks in ECW. So they've worked together for a long time, but in 1997, they did a brief invasion angle where Jerry Lawler would sort of, you know, Taz would be there and Jerry Lawler would mock him and Jerry Lawler went over to ECW. So they did have a bit of history.
Christ.
They bring them together here. You've never seen Jerry Lawler wrestle
I've
before,
never
have
seen,
you?
I've never seen him, you know, I've never seen him take, I've never seen his nipples, for example, even though they've been daringly close.
Yes.
Like Daily Mail, sidebar of shame, daringly, young Jerry Lawler, all grown up.
Yeah, these puppies are now dogs.
Wearing the skimpiest of costumes.
With a crown, kettishly perched on his head. This is not a match, but I think by this point Taz is long retired.
Yeah.
This is the last time Taz did any sort of angle in the ring.
Right. Okay.
So he's still involved in wrestling. He was in TNA as a commentator for many, many years, or Impact, and he's recently sort of been popping up in AEW just doing cameos. But you can tell here that Taz is so wide. He's put on weight. But it's just gone horizontal.
Yeah, boxy. Boxy, really boxy. Boy. And I mean, Lawler's in no kind of state either, to be
no,
fair.
No, they do mock Lawler. Joey Styles mocks Lawler for being out of shape. And you're just like, mate, we've just seen Taz. He looks like a chewit. There's a massive chewit.
Super meat boy, square boy.
He does like Spam. Yeah. He took Spam out of a tin and then painted it orange.
He looks like New Metal Spam. He looks like New Metal Spam.
The you can tell he's also wearing a shirt. Yeah. And that is a real wrestler code for I am embarrassed by the way I look. Ric Flair on the last ever Nitro, he wears a t-shirt that says Nitro on it. Yeah. And it looks so pony. It's just rubbish. and it's just because they get to the point where they just go, I've been out of it too long and I'm really super embarrassed.
Nobody's seen this.
There was one match that was actually supposed to happen at this one night stand that didn't happen. And it was supposed to be Chris Benoit versus Dean Malenko.
Right.
And they'd been former ECW tag team champions. Dean Malenko had also been retired since 2001. He was working as an agent. One of the great technical wrestlers of all time. But Benoit had been too banged up. He'd got injuries and they had to call it off. But Malenko had actually spent months getting into shape. And the idea was Malenko versus Benoit was going to be a tribute to Eddie Guerrero. Mm. So Dean Malenko really got into shape because he didn't want to let his friend down. Taz did not have the same reasoning behind it. So he's just like, do you know what I'll do? I'll wear a massive t-shirt. I'm an XXL. If I get an XXL, right, then I'll look slim. And it didn't really work.
Well, Jerry Lawler goes over and slaps Joey Styles' specs off.
Yeah.
And as a spectacle wearer, that annoyed me. Because he clouts him and his spectacles go flying. And you can see the next frame, they're a little askew. And I'm like, fuck his glass. The adjustable nose pieces are a little bit out of whack.
They will always be a thing where Joey Styles looks down for his notes. They'll just slip an inch down his nose. He's like, thanks a lot, King. There's something funny about Joey Styles, who was a very good commentator in ECW, but who was not at all valued by WWE.
Right.
They ended up putting him in charge of, I think, the website merchandise.
Okay.
But you can see when Lawler hits him, there is a thing about, you know, this is all fun and games, but Lawler is like, I am just going to whack him. Lawler's famous for having some of the best worked punches in the business. And people talk about wrestling him, and he does these great looking punches, and they say you don't even feel them.
Yeah.
He just goes, I'm just going to whack him normally. I've got 30 years of experience in this, and I'm going to use none of it.
Think you're part of this? Do you think you're part of this? The way they've cut the hole in the brick, because it looks like they're breaking out of a wall, annoys me a little bit, because they've kind of worked with the contours of the brickwork in some parts, but in others, it's like they've smashed out of a window. It just doesn't follow brick shape enough. It's not good.
Those sort of chain link panels they've got as well. Yes. There's a bit, so Joey Styles, when he goes down, he sort of grabs one of them for support. And as he tries to get up, it just flops over. And when you see stuff like that, you sort of go, it sort of looks like really impenetrable and stuff. And you're like, it's like, it just falls over.
Will you please tell the wrestlers which chain links are load-bearing and which ones aren't? Because quite frankly, we've killed a few wrestlers lately.
And this is a great sort of bit about when you sort of go, it's a bit shonky. When Taz is in the ring, they're all cheering. And for some reason, Taz, who's spent his whole career looking serious and dangerous, he can't stop smiling. And you can't tell whether he's embarrassed about what he's got coming up.
Or just enjoying
it. Or whether he's sort of going,
this
is fun. Yeah. This is the last. Ever get the feeling you've been treated? This is my last match. But he's not taking this seriously at all. They do one move in this match, which is Lawler gets caught in the Taz mission.
Yes.
And the crowd go nuts for it. And there's a funny thing about this. I think people would also go, why would you start with this? Why wouldn't you start with a good match to warm the crowd up? And actually, this is what people wanted to see. It sets the tone for the night. Jerry Lawler gets humiliated by your ECW star. And I think it's basically sort of going, can everyone please calm down? There's no need to get like too angry about what's going to happen tonight. Please don't spit. Right? We're going to try and make you have a nice night, all right?
We frisked you, but we have not gone inside your arses, so you might have anything up there. Yes. Please don't.
Yeah. So look,
Terry Funk Semtex.
We've humiliated Jerry, okay? Keep watching, because we'll probably humiliate some more. There is no need to set a fire. The next match that they go on to it's worth saying, actually. They do a lot about, isn't the king absurd and ridiculous?
Yeah.
Because he's got a crown on.
Yeah.
You know, and they do a lot about, I think Taz does a little speech afterwards and he goes, well, I beat the, and he does the speech marks with his hands, the king. I was thinking, you're called Taz, right? he's called Taz because when he started, He had a tattoo of the Tasmanian Devil, the Looney Tunes character.
Jesus, really?
That says
wow.
Taz above it.
I just thought he was like really quick and he'd run around.
No,
and, no.
He was dressed as best you could do on like $10 as the Tasmanian Devil when he started. So he had like sort of like caveman furry pants on, no shoes, and he had a wig that was all hair, but that was all sort of like curly. But he coloured his nose black, like a little...
Oh, my word.
I mean, you know...
But they've sort of went, look, it can't be copyright IP infraction or infringement if he's got a tattoo. We can't remove that.
They did actually. They added an extra Z on in the WWE.
Did they, right?
So
yeah,
throughout
his
career, he was the Tasmanian Devil. Then he became Taz with a Z. WWE, they give him two Zs. They're like, we are so safe. When you used to get the action figures of Taz, you'd get everything. It would say Taz, but they left off the Tasmanian Devil.
Well, yeah, I mean, sensible.
Yeah. Taz, you idiot. Should I say open speech marks, Taz? Yeah.
And the Animaniac stable. Idiots.
Animaniacs was one of the great Japanese wrestlers of the 90s. And then we get the sort of first match proper, which is Randy Orton versus Kurt Angle. Mm. My favourite part of this is one of those things. I mean, Angle is in a great run here. He's sort of becoming a wrestling machine.
Right.
And he's sort of not bothering to be entertaining in a weird way.
Yeah, he seems a bit more businesslike slash...
Yeah. Like everyone else is. He's sort of transcended wrestling a bit. And he's sort of gone, oh yeah, all of you come out here and you do your moves and everything. What I'm going to do from now on is I'm just going to grab you and sort of like just hold you on the floor for 30 minutes. And that's what it gets so over.
Yeah.
Angle was so popular at the last one night stand, even when he was part of the WWE contingent, that's the reason they moved him to ECW. They were like, they really accept him. Mm. So he's got this thing of going, I'm now in ECW. And this match with Randy Orton, they use as a perfect example of the WWE. Mm. He's young, he's handsome, he's actually quite boring in the ring. Mm. And they give him pyro to really rub it in that he's WWE.
That he's magnificent. Yeah.
And then Angle just sort of basically sits on him for 25 minutes. When Randy Orton comes down to the ring, there's a great bit where a kid just punches
him in the arm.
That's bold.
He pushes him in the arm. Like one person slaps him on the arm.
Yeah.
The kid punches him on the arm and he turns around. Randy Orton turns around to go, I'm going to fucking lamp you.
Yeah.
And his dad, the kid's dad, could not look more. He's got a smile on his face.
Yeah.
He's laughing along.
Yeah.
But he is under no illusion that his child is about to get his bones removed.
That kid is probably like 13. You know? And I mean, how much ECW has he seen?
Yeah.
A, he shouldn't have, mate. B, he shouldn't be here at this show. C, don't get him punching Randy Orton.
No, good Lord,
no. Terrible dad.
Fantastic.
Oh, but I mean, that kid does not flinch. He just goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have it.
And his dad's like, my kid's body is going to be dislocated.
If I was Randy Orton, there would be a part of me going, if the 13-year-old kid is assaulting me and they're not scared when I turn round, what are the rest of the people in this movie like?
I mean, the ultimate kind of like bad guy move would just be throw that kid.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely fling him.
Drag him over the rails and then just start trying to pull his teeth out with your hand. I mean, really insane. This match is kind of dull. It's it follows Randy Orton at WrestleMania 22. There's a rumor that he was actually supposed to win the world belt,
right?
But he was having a lot of problems backstage. He was very young. He was very cocky.
Yeah.
He was very difficult.
Yeah.
He'd been suspended for 60 days just before this for what they termed unprofessional conduct.
Mm.
There was a long-standing rumour that he'd taken a shit in a diva's bag and that was the reason she'd quit the business.
Right, okay.
He later said that he was just caught smoking marijuana backstage. He was doing it flagrantly.
Mm.
And so they'd given him this thing where they said Angle had broken his ankle and he took 60 days basically out.
Ah.
During this time, he became really problematic with substance abuse. And so he spoke many, many years later. He said, all life was for me a couple of years ago was I was going to get fucked up. It was pretty dark and gloomy and sad.
Yeah.
So he was just, I think, a young man who had, you know, risen really quickly to the top of his profession and was finding it a lot of pressure.
Mm.
He he has had a number of wellness violations over the years. His name has popped up a few times on some lists and things of people who were being investigated for steroids. So he, but he seems to be in a much better place now.
Is he still wrestling? Like, he's still wrestling.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I mean, he's still a main event. He actually sort of, he seems, if you follow him on Twitter, he's one of those guys who has suddenly become really almost like a cult favourite.
Right.
Because he's really funny on Twitter. He's really sort of charming, and he seems to be really nice to kids, and he seems to be really funny about other things with the wrestlers.
When they're not hitting him on the arm.
Yes. Yeah. That hit actually may also have hit the United States Marine Corps tattoo that he has on his actually no, it's on his left arm. It's the other one. It is covered up by other tattoos, which he did after getting his bad conduct discharge.
His naughty discharge.
Yeah. Angle here, he's only in WWE for another couple of months. He gets released early from his WWE contract because of health reasons. He said he was working hurt, that he couldn't stop, and you know they were, as you say, worried about the Olympian dying on their watch, that they wanted him to slow down. He wouldn't. He actually ended up wrestling his last WWE match at an ECW taping in August. He had a no contest against Sabu.
Oh.
Orton does a chin lock, loads and loads of boring chants, all that. One of the commentators says, well, freedom of speech here for the ECW faithful. You can already tell that the hand of Vince McMahon is bleeding through the headphones and he's getting too involved.
He's like Donald Trump when he went, something, at the end of that speech. Yeah, that's this week, like going, you're going to come for me, you're going to shoot me, you're going to have to shoot all of us. And then clearly somebody in his headphones went, say something. Something. Jessica Ennis, good night.
One last thing that I just want to talk about while we're on Randy Orton, because it's something that I've not actually seen covered anywhere else. So this isn't an exclusive, because anyone can do it. I just had a look. I was on the internet last night. He's got a younger brother called Nathan, who is a stand-up comedian. I went onto Nathan Orton's website. It was updated last year in 2018.
Yeah.
The About Me section is some really low-res pics and the word about title. Mm. So he's not actually done his website properly, which is annoying. There's loads of photographs like you'll get with all the American stand-ups where they're just in front of a brick wall with a microphone.
Yes.
That brick, the bare brick wall is always American stand-up.
Yes.
And I was thinking, you know, there's loads of photographs of Nathan Orton with lots of stand-ups from America, presumably, who you've never heard of. And I was thinking, God, I really, really hate low-level American stand-up. So I thought, well, I'm going to have a look and see what he puts on Twitter, because, I might be wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a couple. This is from the last month. This is Nathan Orton. And see if you can see a sort of beginnings of you know, what sort of a stand-up he might be. You ever notice how you're only allowed to body shame people that take care of their bodies?
What?
This is one from June the 15th. Beauty standards are too high. No, your daily calorific intake is.
It's fat people, not even jokes.
January the 6th. Posting a screenshot of themselves getting hit on is how unconfident women post selfies.
I mean, it's very wordy, isn't it? It's very, like, it doesn't, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good observation. Girlfriends. Ooh, I don't want to put my lips on the glass. Give me a straw. Also, girlfriends. Lick salt from rim of margarita glass.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking women, hey? Fucking women. If they're not fat, they're disgusting.
If they're not getting off with my much more handsome and muscular brother.
Yeah, they're watching me.
Oh, dear.
They're watching me shame them in front of a brick wall.
Just watching him with Mick Foley on his website there.
Oh, yeah. I noticed he wasn't afraid
pictures.
To just slip that one
yeah.
in. You can follow him at, it's at Orton... what's that low thing that happens?
Sorry?
I was going to call that a bridge.
Oh,
what's that?
Underscore, yeah.
Yeah, Orton underscore Nathan.
Do you remember when, like, at signs and underscores, which just didn't really use, it's not a thing. Why is the tilde not coming to the thing? Like, why is nobody using the tilde sign?
Yeah. There's a classic bit, and I can't remember where it's from, of, it might be someone like, oh, it's someone cool on like BBC Radio 1.
Okay.
In the early days of reading out web addresses.
Oh, you know what? I don't think he was even young then. It was Pete Tong.
Gotcha.
Pete Tong's going, Right, if you'd like to go to the website, it's bbc.co.uk. Actually, it was like bbc.org.
HTTP.
Semicolon. HTTP, semicolon. Colon, forward slash, www.bbc.co.uk/music/radio/. It was just like 50 forward slashes. .html.
Yes.
Lovely. Love it.
I found myself.
If you're accessing
more.
It on Unix system, you're going to need a BBS address.
This is the old America Online all over again, isn't it? Search wrestling, search grapple, search. Yeah, oh, magic. I think we should all start bringing back as well, saying, when you say to people, what's the address? You go, www, it stands for World Wide Web.
Yeah.
Throwing that in.
I always say, whenever we get a read, I always go, people just say slash.
Yeah.
Also, I would say forward slash because I'm old school, baby. I would like to know if anybody has seen on his upcoming shows, bit of his website at NathanOrtonComedy.com. He did play the Grizzly Pair on the 21st of last month and the 27th at Dangerfields. I'm presuming that's Rodney Dangerfield's comedy club. Upcoming shows, just change your website. Just have a date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could not be more American low level stand up sounding places. The Grizzly Pear. You know, Chuckle Knobs. I don't know why it's so undignified. Hey, you ever notice how your girlfriend doesn't want to put her lips on the glass? She wants a straw, but also your girlfriend. Yep, this is great, Nathan. This is great.
Have you seen
the various shapes, various patterns, jigsaw blocks? He hasn't filled it out.
So he's bought an off the shelf website.
Yeah.
I kind of figure out what you're talking about there. He's got everything's kind of like got placeholder text.
Yeah.
So underneath the picture of him, it just says about title, six lines moving black with an animated GIF of that happening.
Brilliantly, every sort of 30 seconds or so, it changes and there is a photo of him. So he's done a bit of
it.
Just not enough.
Just walked away. NathanOrtonComedy.com. I'd love to hear what kind of comedy. I mean, I think there's one on YouTube. Maybe I've listened to that one.
There's not a huge amount on YouTube, but there is some.
Good.
I don't think it's for me.
Wrestle me, Mark. We're out of here.
Wrestle me, Peter.
We'll be back next week. Not the same time, hopefully. A little bit earlier. Apologies, everyone.
Yes. And do remember, look, hey, Jesus Christ.
Jesus
Christ. Almost fucking Christmas.
Jesus fuck.
It's almost fucking Christmas. Mm. I have still got T-shirts and pins clogging up my life. If you haven't bought them, if you have, get the fuck to the Wrestle Me merch stall and take them off my sodding hands.
Wow.
Yeah. Wrestle me.
What's that, Mark? Just find us on Twitter, Wrestle Me Pod.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Annette Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.